is, my name is Ka'eo, and for the last time, it is an honor and privilege to be able to get into God's Word and hang out with all of you, and what a week it has been. It has been a gift and a joy for all of you to take the time to learn how to say my name. What's even sweeter is that there's someone who knows all of you by name, and that is who? God. We were able to spend this whole week getting to know a guy that starts with D, ends in annual, which is?
Annual.
And we have learned how to, or what does it look like to be followers of Christ in a world that really doesn't want us to be one. And so we're going to go ahead and look now, as we set our sights to us going home, what does it look like now? Knowing what we know, how then do we live? And so that's where we're going to be in. But before we even do that, it's important for you to know where we're going. So I would love for you to turn to Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to be in verse 3. And I just need you to focus up for a little bit. This one won't be as long as last night, but it is just as crucial. So what book?
Daniel.
What chapter? What verse? Okay, so here's the only thing I'm going to ask you to do. Let's like say it with a tad more joy, all right? What book? This I want you to hear what I heard, all right? I want you to hear what I heard. What book? Daniel. What chapter? 9. What verse? 3. All right, okay, so what book?
Daniel.
What chapter?
9.
What verse?
3.
There we go. The joy of the Lord is in this place. Come on now. All right, so we're going to be there, but before or as you turn there, it's very important that I acknowledge some heroes in this room because this week would not have been possible without them. So first, we're going to go ahead. They may be in this room, they may not, and what's great about us honoring them is we are appreciating them not because we want them to know we are saying thank you, but out of an overflow of gratitude in our own hearts, okay? So first and foremost, the people we want to thank is the band. Give them a round of applause. And our guy Jackson back there, give him a round of applause. It's incredible for us to be able to worship together. First and foremost, that's a freedom that I think we often take for granted, that we can be in a place and space where we can worship God. But it's really cool how they have led us and ushered us into the presence of God, and we got to be able to join heaven as we worship the King. If you think about it, the angels in heaven are constantly saying, "Holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." We got to do that this whole week, which is really sweet. And then you wouldn't hear any of this if Jackson wasn't in the back. And so Jackson has been essential for making sure this happens. The second group of people we want to make sure that appreciate, you may not have seen them very often, but it's our Hume staff, okay? So give them a round of applause. All right, they include our OE staff, but even the people that, like, I don't know if you noticed that they're the people who, like, kind of cook our meals, the people that kind of clean up after us after we leave, the people that kind of made sure this place looks nice and well for us to be a part of it. So you still have, what's so cool is, you're not going home, like, tonight. You still have tomorrow. So if you see them tomorrow, please make sure that you just say thank you, because thank you goes a long way. And the reason why thank yous in person matters because what you're saying is, hey, I see you. Thank you. All right, so that's really important. The next group of people that we want to thank is your OE staff. So Wildcat, Mango, Rango, Boots, Nerf, Oats, Jello, Rolo, Dash, Kiwi, Flipper, Winnie, Jujubee, all right, Shaka, and Biscuit. And so give them a round of applause. We learned a lot of great stuff from them, and it's been a joy to hang out with all of them. And so make sure that you say thank you when you see them as well. And then, obviously, we cannot, this week could not have been pulled off without your leaders, your teachers, your counselors, and your parents. So we're going to actually have them stand. So if you're a leader, a teacher, a counselor, a parent, faculty, I would love for you to stand. Give them a round of applause. They are absolute heroes, and what's really cool is they're going to go down the hill with you. And so they love you more than you know, and they are more proud of you than you believe. And so it's really important we thank them. And so what we're going to do right now, just to kind of end the gratitude experience for us, when I count to three, we're just going to clap one time, all right? So ready? And one, two, three. Excellent. All right, okay, so let me pray as we get into God's word. Bow your heads. Close your eyes. And let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And God, pray for me and my friends as we get ready to get into your word. Would you allow us to be present in the moment? Let us fight for our attention on you, knowing that you have something for us tonight. God, it has been a long week and a good week. God, give us the energy to be present tonight. Lord, we love you. We pray all these things in your son's name. And we all said, amen. Okay, so I'm going to recap in case you fell asleep on Monday and you kind of forgot what we talked about. So here it goes. Monday night, we found Daniel and his friends taken as what? Captives by King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. This was a country and a culture that was polar opposite of their own, where they would live as exiles. As we dove into just how different the culture was and realized it wasn't much different from our very own culture, and we left that night with this one phrase: God always has a excellent. Then we woke up the next morning, it's Tuesday, and we walked with Daniel and his friends as they came up against a lot of opposition. And there's a lot of attacks on their faith, where they were going to be forced to eat food that God explicitly commanded them not to do so. And when Daniel and his friends trusted the Lord, they were able to be resilient and respectfully decline even in the face of death. We learned on Tuesday morning, we don't rise to the challenge, but we fall to our training. Then Tuesday night, right, we talked about how Daniel interprets King Nebuchadnezzar's dreams, even without being told to him, because the Lord heard Daniel's prayer. After the dream is told and interpreted by Nebuchadnezzar, he praises the Lord and yet still has yet to surrender his entire life to the real King. We witness in the midst of the hardest trial or opposition, God is right there. And what the world wants to use us to destroy us, God flips us on its head and uses it to grow us in love and makes us into people who live like Jesus. We learn on Tuesday night that God promises to always be with us. And then Wednesday morning, we saw Nebuchadnezzar again proclaim himself to be the ultimate ruler. And in love, we had to be honest with the reality of our own sin in our lives, that we are all born into sin, and that sin in our lives separates us from a holy God, and there is nothing we can do. Remember the monkey? And that sin stains our lives and marks us for death apart from God. We said that sin is like cotton candy. It overpromises and underdelivers. And then last night, we recognized that we couldn't save ourselves, and so God sent someone to save us. And that was this guy that starts with J, ends in Jesus. Who was it?
Jesus.
And we recognized just by looking in the same way Daniel paid for the sin of Darius by going into the lion's den, Jesus paid for our sin by taking it to the cross. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, the debt of sin is paid for, and forgiveness and eternal life is offered. And a relationship with God of the universe is possible. It is only through Jesus we can be adopted out of death into eternal life as children of God. And all we have to do is embrace it, because it is a gift, right? And then some of us made that decision that we made God not only our Savior, but also our Lord. That is what we have been going through the past few days, and that takes us now to chapter 9. You there? Verse 3. You learned a lot this week. Praise the Lord. Verse 3, read it with me. I want you to hear, this is Daniel's prayer. Is it off brand that Daniel's praying again? No, right? So let's read it. Verse 3, you there? Perfect. All right, it says, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayer and pleas for mercy with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession, saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned and done wrong and acted wickedly and rebelled, turning aside from your commandments and rules. Verse 6, we have not listened to your servants, the prophets who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. To you, O Lord, belongs righteousness, but to us open shame, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all to Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, and all the lands to which you have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you. Verse 8, hang in there. To us, O Lord, belongs open shame, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him. I really want you to hear what Daniel says in his prayer with the Lord, because it equips us with you, it models you, for you and me, the vital first step in walking with Jesus in our culture. And it's to embrace the good news of Jesus. The gospel is on full display in that prayer. What do you hear? Do you hear some of the sins committed? And then do you hear God's goodness? Do you hear those two things? Yes. Daniel says that God is awesome. He is righteous. He is full of steadfast love. And even in the middle of all that, we rejected his kingdom, the rule of love, and we chose our own way, and because of our habit of choosing sin over him, we were on an eternal path to death apart from him. And yet, who always has a plan? God, who promises to always be with us. Was it anything to do with us? No. And so the Lord made a way for us to come back, and that was this guy who starts with J, ends in Jesus. Who is that? Jesus. We've been talking about him for a whole lot and last night. It's through Jesus and him taking on the full weight of our sin, right, that we are able to embrace this new life. Say new life. Now remember last night, really quickly, I made you write down four things that start with fully. Remember it? Okay, so in Jesus alone, we are fully known, fully loved, fully forgiven, and fully accepted, right? So once again, in Jesus alone, we are fully known, we're fully loved, we're fully forgiven, and we're fully accepted. If you forgot it, write it down. Because do we remember a lot of things, or are we forgetful people? We're forgetful people. And like Daniel, we need to embrace this, just like many of you did last night. And you embrace the gospel at a point in time where you handed over your life of sin and surrender and you accepted God's life of abundance and grace. That is where we're at. But it's not just a point in time, okay? It's also over time, all right? So if you're taking notes, I want you to write this part down. We need to embrace the gospel over time. Like I said, are we a forgetful people? Yes. That's why Jesus writes so often, right? If you're gonna be a disciple of mine, you're gonna be a follower of mine, you must pick up your cross daily. All right? We must embrace the gospel over time. We have to remind ourselves and each other daily that I am the Lord's and my home is not in this world. That's what we remind ourselves, because we're gonna forget. We're gonna forget. And what I'm not saying is that every morning you'd be like, Jesus, I'm going to accept you into my heart. I'm going to declare that you're Lord and Savior of my life. I'm going to Romans 10:9 this again, Lord. That is not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is that every single day we need to remind ourselves that our home isn't here and the world is not our king. But who is our king? God. Because we are a forgetful people. And we need to be reminded of who God is. Because the world and the culture will try and make you think that what it offers to you is so much better. It's so much better. But it's when we find ourselves being reminded of who God is in here, in this Bible, say Bible. Bible. Say Bible. Bible. When we remind ourselves in here daily, then we know that our home isn't here, but our home is with who? God. And before we move on, I have to say this one thing. Say one thing. Jesus isn't asking for you and me to be perfect and have it all together. Remember how I talked about how we don't need to take a shower before we take a shower? Jesus is not asking for that. Jesus cares more about your heart than he cares about what you do. Often, listen, really quickly, really quickly. Are you a human doing? No, you're a human being. A lot of times we define ourselves by what we do, and God says, I define you by who you are. You are my sons and daughters who've been adopted into my family, who I sent my son to die on the cross for you. That is your identity. But so often we say our identity is what we do, not who we are. Here's some things that, in case you've forgotten, these are who you are. This is your identity. You are fully known. You are fully loved. You are fully forgiven, and you are fully accepted. That is your identity. Okay? God cares more about your heart. And then when we recognize that, we will be more dependent on him and less dependent on ourselves. We will make Jesus king of our life and not be looking for kings other places and spaces. Second thing, all right? First thing was a dependence of recognizing that we've been saved into new life. The second thing, right? Remember in the in all of our episodes that we've been watching all week, what was Darlene holding? What? Survival guide, which I love that was called survival guide, because what was that ultimately referring to? The Bible. Yeah, the Bible, which this should then therefore be our survival guide, right? And this is something that we should run to every time we have a question about what to do. How do I love my enemies? How do I love my friends who gossip about me? When was the last time you went to this with a question? How do I honor my mother and father? Is it okay for me to conflict? Can I have a fight with my friend? What does it mean to forgive somebody? What does it look like to share the gospel with someone? How do I know that God loves me? Have you ever asked those questions and looked in this thing? My encouragement for all of you is to get in this. Get in this. Because it's in this, who do we get to know? God, yes, 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 yes. Do you ever feel like sometimes you don't really know if God's going to be with you? Do you ever feel like, this is rhetorical. Ever feel like sometimes you're like, I don't know if I feel if God loves me? I think maybe, I don't know, like, does God care about, insert the thing that you're thinking about, if God cares about? I wonder if we would have all those questions too if we actually knew the God in here. Or we'd be like, you know what? No, I know what I'm feeling, but I know the truth that God does love me, right? It's really important for you to get in this thing. What should you get into? Your Bible. Through the life of Daniel, we are equipped with the truth to cling to his word, right? Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. God's word strengthens us, it equips us, and it instructs us of how to live a life in the midst of a culture that's against the Lord. Ever feel lost? Blink twice if you ever felt lost before. We're flying, literally flying at this point. Ever felt alone before? Blink twice. Ever felt kind of like this thing called shame before? Blink twice. You know, my favorite Disney movie is obviously Lilo and Stitch. I know. And the reason why I love it so much is because there's this scene where Stitch is lost. He's in the middle of the woods, and he looks up, and he goes, I'm lost. And what I love about it so much is, guess what he's holding? A book. And it reminds me, every time I see that scene, when I feel lost, where should I turn? The book. The Bible. See, God's word teaches us that God can be trusted because of his character. It teaches us that he is always faithful, all-powerful, and abounding in loving kindness. God didn't leave us in a dark room to try and figure out on our own. Have you ever, walk with me, what I love about you guys is your imagination is incredible. That's something that we adults should learn from and never lose. Imagine with me. Say, imagine. Imagine. You're like, you wake up, and you don't have to be like me, but I'm like, you know what? I really want some ice cream right now. Remember, I told you my wheel's trash when it comes to ice cream. So I'm going through the dark. I'm trying to make it there, you know? And everything's fine because I know how to get to my fridge. I get to my fridge, get my ice cream out, whatever, take a bite, whatever, whatever, get some water, close it, right? Now the light is just like gone. Then what happens? Everything, yes, I don't know the path. Everything is much darker than when it was. And I'm trying to get back, and next thing you know, I stub my toe. I'm like, why did I leave this shoe here? Whose shoe is this I just stepped on, right? Sometimes I trip over my own dog who came to come check on me, and I'm like, what are you doing here? You know, like, you scared me. And that's what it feels like to walk in this world without God's word. I might know vaguely how to get there, but am I going to get there unscathed? No, I literally stubbed my pinky toe at one point on a chair I know is always there. But for some reason, and that hurts. Oh, that hurts. You know it hurts, right? You've done it before. Yeah. Yeah, you know it hurts. Imagine, though, if I just had turned on the light, could I have navigated through that whole place just fine? Yeah, God's word illuminates our path. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God did not leave us in the dark for us to try and figure out our own way. He gave us a Bible, a book full of 66 books in here. Why? So we can know him and see that he is good and that his love endures forever and ever. His kingdom shall never end, and nothing in this world could ever get in the way of that. Nothing in this world could. And when we are grounded in who God is, we are able to stand with resolve and resilience by loving those around us. Listen, friends, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything. So it is so important for you to stand on God's word. Remember when I talked about being resolved? Yeah. Unmoved. Solid. Resolved at a heart level. God's word instructs us how to live this life. And if this was like a TV show, there'd be a banner. And it would say, hey, reminder, reminder, reminder. I don't know about where you live or the people in your life, but can I please tell you one thing that you may not know? That you might be someone's first impression of Jesus. Because God's word clearly says that the world will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. The world will know that you are my disciples by how you love one another. So you might be someone's first impression of the good news of Jesus. Think about that. You might go home and be like, yes, I made a decision to follow the Lord. I've confessed that he is my Lord and Savior. And they're looking at you now and being like, you are now my impression of what the good news is. I'm going to tell you, I'm just confession, I'm going to be really honest. Most of my confessions have been really, they don't really make me look good at all. I'm going to keep that going. In high school, in Oklahoma, we're in the Bible Belt, which is the South, and everywhere there, everyone's Christian. And it's almost like it's actually odd that you're not, versus here, it's really cool because not everyone's Christian, which is awesome, because we have a lot of work to do. But in the South, we were having a prayer circle before lunch, and we're praying. And so all of us, everyone knows that we are what? Christians, that we're followers of Jesus. And we're praying, and we don't just like, amen. Like, multiple people are praying out loud. And one of our friends walks by us. She knows that we're followers of Christ. And we're sitting at our lunch table in our cafeteria. And my friend started gossiping about, guess who? Her, the friend. Started gossiping about her. And guess what I did? I joined in. I know, some of you, heart's broken. I joined in. I joined in with the gossip. And guess who walked up behind us? The friend, her. And she looks at us and she says, "You tell me that your God is love, and yet you speak with words that feel like daggers. You cast shame on me, and yet your Bible says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus." And I remember her saying that and saying, yeah, I carry that still to this day. That person looked at us saying that you were supposed to represent a God of love and you were nothing like it. We will most likely be people's first impression of the gospel and the good news, and we really need to watch our words because they matter. They can breathe life or cause death. And that was tough. Remember, that person in front of you or even online, they have a name. They are not problems to be fixed or solved, but people to be loved. And that is what Jesus, time and time again, would say. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, it says, "But I say to you," Jesus talking, his sermon on the mount, he says, "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." See, it's really important, not how we just handle the people who are nice to us, but how we love people who don't like us. Have you ever been in a fight before? Blink twice. Absolutely. Blink twice if you've been in a fight before. Blink twice because your parents are in the room. Some of your parents are in the room. Blink twice if you ever had a fight with your parent. So some of you are like, "My parents aren't in the room. I'll raise my hand." Can I ask you something? When you are in a fight with someone, is prayer your first move? Because it was Daniel's. Every time Daniel was faced with a life or death situation that could have been in conflict with somebody, who did he run to? God. When you're in your fights with your friends or your family or your parents, I pray that prayer is your first move. Here's why. And I'm going to share you a verse that I share with all my interns and my student leaders and even my volunteers and my seniors. So I'm giving you guys some like big stuff right now, okay? And I believe you guys got it, because we're not going to rise to this occasion. We're going to fall to our what? Training. And you've been in God's word all week. 1 Peter, write this down. We're going to wrap up, all right? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. What book? 1 Peter. What chapter? 3. What verse? 15. And this is what it reads. "But in your hearts," ooh, where did I say your resolve should be? Heart. "In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that's in you." When we think defense, we must be in what? A war. Yeah, I mean, technically we kind of are a spiritual war. But when we think defense, there always seems to be, there has to be, the best defense is a offense. And every time you hear the bad rep of Christians is all of a sudden they go around people and say, "You are a sinner, you are a sinner, you are a sinner, you are a sinner. Your life is terrible. You're going to where? Hell." Yeah, some of you are like, "I can't even say it, it's just bad." And that's how we treat people. Is that loving? No. There is a difference here. There is a way to speak the truth in love. Not just be truth bangers, I guess. I don't know. There's a way. There is a way. Because what does the rest of the verse say? If you forget anything I ever tell you, it is this one thing. Never take scripture out of context. If you're going to read the verse, read the whole verse, and then read the verse after it and before it. Never read scripture out of context. We need to finish verse 15. And it says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So when you are faced with your enemies, I pray that you're like Daniel. And I pray that your first move is to pray. And if you don't know what to pray, I'm just gonna tell you what I do. All right? And you can take it. If you like it, great. I'm gonna tell you what I do. You ready? When I'm in a fight, friend fallout, sometimes even conflict with my wife, here's what I pray. God, comma, help me to see them as you see them. God, comma, help me to see them as you see them. The hardest thing in my Christian life to ever, and honestly still to this day, to still process is, actually, let's rewind. The easiest thing for me to actually understand is that God died for whose sins? Ours. But I always, guys, God died for my sin. I am forgiven. Yes, I am, right? That part's good news. And we like it. Yes? Yeah, we do. But Jesus didn't just die for my sins. Who do you die for? Our sins. Even the sins for those who have sinned against who? Us. So who am I to demand justice? If Jesus already paid for it. Forgiveness is not an option or a feeling, it is a commandment. And so therefore, we have to recognize, okay, that we need to, okay, love one another. Because people will know Jesus by how we love them. And the last thing is, you can't do it alone. Because what I just gave you is a lofty goal. I don't know about you, it is very difficult to love people who hurt you. Amen? Amen. That is a holy standard, and only Jesus can do that. Which means, can you do it by yourself? Nope. You need who? Jesus. And that's why when Jesus ascended to heaven, he gave us the Holy Spirit. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now lives inside of us. The God of the universe now chooses to live where? In us. Mishael, Hananiah, and Azariah in the furnace. Where is Jesus? In the furnace with them. Where is Jesus when you are in the heat of your conflict and trial? He's with us, and he's empowering you with strength and reminding you of who God is and who you are. The same God you encountered this week is not limited to this hill. Where does he go? Everywhere, because he is with you, us. Daniel was encouraged, loved, and supported also by his friends. In the same way, we are called to love, encourage, uplift, and carry one another's burdens. Here's the last point. There are two things that you can't do by yourself. Number one, get married. Can't do it by yourself. Can't be married by yourself. Okay, only the parents smiled because it's fine. And then the second thing is you just can't be a Christian by yourself. You need people. Say, I need people. You need people to encourage and pray for each other. So my question for you is, really quickly, is who do you have in your life that would be willing to pray for you, encourage you, help you, love you, support you? Oh, wait. We talked about them when we had them stand, didn't we? Yeah. Give them a round of applause one more time. They will help you when you're down the hill. But I encourage you to recognize that you need some of your friends too. So, with that being said, in conclusion, friends, this has been an amazing week. But it's only the start. God wants to use you in the same way he used Daniel in your schools, on your teams, your theater groups, art classes, your friend groups, even your homes, the grocery store, in your neighborhood. And he wants you and encourages you to stand with resilience. Say, stand with resilience. Be resolved in your heart to walk with him in the midst of trials and hardships. Embrace the gospel, not just at a point in time, but daily. Root yourself in who God is through knowing his word. And know that he goes with you and lives inside of you through his Holy Spirit. And he's given you each other as brothers and sisters in Christ to do this together. Say, I am not alone. You are not alone. And all this starts and ends as we saw in Daniel's life again and again and again. Through what? Through prayer. From the beginning of our time to the end of our time, Daniel always was what? So we're going to end our time like we started our time with what? Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you. And I pray for me and my friends as, you know, the night's still young, but as their week is kind of wrapping up here, Lord, I pray that they remember that they're fully loved, fully accepted, fully known, and fully forgiven in you and you alone. May they be reminded that you love them and that you're always with them. We love you. Praise things in your son's name, and we said.